Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Amen. Liz, we gotta believe. We gotta believe. And a lot of us, we set different dreams and goals, and that's great. Sometimes we dreams we set, and there's nothing wrong with having lots of goals and lots of dreams, but we have to make sure that we're focused, make sure that we are confident that it's something that God, that we're able to do, or a talent that we were able to give back to God, and we know that he's directing us in that direction. And lastly, but not least, we must believe. With setting those dreams and goals, sometimes we get distracted along the way. Maybe it's us being unsure, us wavering, and is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? But we have a bit of unbeliefs to set in. But we have to continue to focus on God and focus on what he told us to do. And one of my favorite songs of Marquise's is, we have to have a go-get-it attitude. We have to make up in our mind that these are the goals and dreams God has given me, and I have to do whatever it takes to reach those goals. I have to put in that effort to reach those goals. A lot of times we'll set goals and we won't see them happen. We're like, God, why isn't this happening? But a lot of times we don't have the right mindset or the right work ethic to go with that dream or goal. Sometimes we do it a little lazy and we say, okay, I'm gonna reach this goal, but we're not giving it 100%. We're only halfway doing it. But when we begin to get that go get it attitude, then we go at it with full force. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on around us, we begin to focus. No matter what's going on around us. I know when I first got saved and I was excited and I was on the bus going to youth church, and I just begin to read my word, and you know, people are talking and they're playing, they're doing different stuff. And I was so focused that I was like, man, I need more of God. I'm not gonna just wait till I get to turn my word. And then even leaving, I was like, man, I God is so good. I'd be so wrapped up in his presence. Let me read some more. When you're so focused on something, you don't care what's going on around you, but you're so focused, so in tune with God, what God is saying, and so in tune with wanting more of him. Like an athlete, when they want to get into the NBA or the NFL, they're working at it with all that they got. No matter what's happening on around them, they begin to shift their eating habits. They begin to change their exercise patterns. They begin to change different things. Why? Because they're so determined. They're so zealous to go after that. And when we begin to, and the gifts given us, it's really focusing on that thing, really working at it, really being determined and focused and saying, okay, God, I'm ready just to give it all to you. I'm ready just to put in the work. And Marquise is a music lover at heart. Not just with him doing his own talents and him doing his own giftings, but he likes finding new artists and seeing what they're about. And then he just tell other people, babe, did you hear this song? Also, have you heard this person? Because he loves music. And it's so in him that he begins singing around the house, or he hears a beat, he hears something, and he's like, man, babe, I could sample that. Why? Because music is just, he'll be watching a movie, you'll be like, man, babe, you hear that? Or different stuff, because it's so ingrained in him. And when you have a gift or a talent and it's so in you, you can't help but to use it wherever you go, whatever you do. But because I love praying so much, no matter if I'm at work, sometimes I have to just go into prayer mode. Why? Because there's something going on in the atmosphere and I just need to get away. Even I find that more and more I need to do that at home. I haven't been doing it as much as I should, but I know that it'll shift the atmosphere. It'll take some frustration away. It'll take a little stress away when you begin to do the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. We have to have that go-get-it attitude. I want to be a better mother, wife, friend, daughter, but mostly a servant of God. How am I serving God? We are living examples wherever we go. We're the word of God. We are the word of God. And we have to remember that. It's not something you could just take off and put back on. A lot of times we try and do that. But we need to stay so ingrained in God's word, so focused on God's word, that we won't let anything deter us, anything shift our mold or our thinking. I heard this story this week, and they said, or this analogy, they said when there are some parrots, I didn't know parrots would sing, and they actually train parrots to sing. And they said sometimes when they get ready to train a parrot to sing, they have to cover its cage, and they call it blackout. Why? Because it's focused. There's nothing else around it. They're teaching it to sing, and it can really focus. But if they don't have it covered, and they're trying to teach it to sing, it's picking up different words here and there. It's doing other stuff. It doesn't want to do it. And sometimes us, we need to black out and really just focus on that God, what God called us to do. We get so distracted here and there. We're in someone else's conversation. We're trying to take notes. We're doing something else. But we need to get away and really focus on God. It's a blackout time. We got a blackout. We got to be doing. Of this world, the main direction you're supposed to be going in. And that's to do the will of God. That's to continue to want to be that servant of God that he's called you to be. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to go down to verse 9. It says, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Are you making sure that your dreams, your goals are ordered by the Lord, are lining up with his will for your life? We have to ask God to direct our steps. Show us which way to go so that we're walking in your will. The next thing we have to do is we have to be focused. So focused that I don't want to do the things of the world. Or I don't want to do something that's going to hinder me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, like I said, with athletes, there's some things they can't eat. Why? Because it'll mess up what they're trying to do. If they have to be at a certain weight or if they have to have a certain speed. So there's some things they cut out. There's some things in our lives that we have to cut out. Sometimes it's okay just to get off of social media. You're not going to miss anything. We have the old way of communicating with loved ones. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be so focused that I don't care what's going on around me. But because I'm focused on God, I know he knows what's best. I'm not saying that you have to just oh, I only can go to church, and I'm only going to go to church, and I'm only going to listen to Bible stories, and I'm only going to be in my word. I'm only going to do this. No, but I'm just saying, whatever spiritual giftings he is giving you, make sure you're in tune with God on how he wants you to use them, so that you are exercising that gift he is giving you. Because we don't want to just have a gift and be like that one that had that one talent and hid it away. But we want to use all that he has given us. Not so that we're saying, look at me, but so that someone can see, okay, I like the way she's doing that. Why is she so passionate about that? Or I see Tamron, and when he gets lost in a song and he's just playing, he's just smiling so big that you make the congregation begin to smile, because this song, there's something about this song that when he starts playing, maybe it's because he's confident in it and he likes what the message is in the song, but he just plays and he just gets so excited. And I think he probably forgets that there's people actually watching him, and that's okay. Because he's doing something that he loves. He's doing something that he's gifted at. And as he does it, you know, that draws other people up. Man, maybe I should get back on the keys. Or maybe I should learn them. Or maybe I should be excited about using the gift I have. I should be excited like that. There's nothing wrong with being excited in the house of God or being excited about the things of God. Next scripture I want to go to is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 4 through 6. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's go ahead and read verse 7 too. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't say be sad always, but it says rejoice. Rejoice always. That means in the trials, in the test. That means when you're trying to exercise that gift God is giving you. That means when you're trying to work at that dream and you don't see it happening just yet. You're not in the big movies that you want to be just yet. But even in the writing process, even in the planning process, rejoice always. Don't be so anxious, so quick to jump out there that you jump out there and you're in a world of mess. Why? Because you said, God, I got this. I'm going to do it my way. And God said, no. That's not what I want you to do. But you jump out there. And sometimes we fall flat. And we're wondering, what happened, God? What happened? This is what I was supposed to be doing. God said, oh, it wasn't your time. It says, be anxious about nothing. A lot of times we get so anxious that we want to do it all by ourselves. But one thing God reminded me of is, he said, don't let yourself get so busy that you don't have time for him or you can't hear him. We get so excited about things. And he reminded me that when we're anxious and we jump into doing something, it's like us, we may know how to swim. And we're not great. We're not in the Olympics. But we know how to save our lives. But God's not telling us to go jump in the ocean. Because you're a great swimmer. Just jump in there. No, 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 no. That's not what he's telling you to do. We have to not be so anxious to get above what God has called us to do. But to continue just to present our requests and know that he will answer our prayers as we present those things to him. And in here, one word that stood out was petition. And I take that as repetitiously, meaning over and over and over, I'm asking God, why? I'm presenting this request because it's heavy on my heart. As long as it lines up with his will, he'll do it. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week, but he'll do it. The next scripture we're going to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to go down to verse 9. It says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has ever conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love God today? Do you love God today? We have to be so in love with God that, as I just said, you present that request to God and you lay it at his feet. Know that God knows the plans he has for you and that he's going to make it plain. No one knows how things are going to get done or why things happen the way they do. But as we trust in God, as we lean on God, as we depend on him, he's going to begin to do things for us because we love him so much and because we put him first. And that leads us into be confident, not cocky, but be confident. We have to be confident in what God has called us to do. When you're confident about something, you walk a little different. You hold your posture a little different. When I'm learning something new at work, because I'm not so confident, then I take notes. Then I ask questions. Then I just need guidance along the way. And there's nothing wrong with needing guidance. But when you get to learn, when you begin to learn things, God begins to give you confidence. When Moses began to believe what God has called him to do, he was able to walk with a little bit of confidence to know that, okay, God called me. He showed me what's going to, how this is going to play out. And as I trust him, I know it's going to work out. So we have to be confident. We're going to go to Philippians again, or maybe we didn't go there yet, but we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1 this time. And it says, 1 verse 6, it says, being confident in this, that he who began a good work will carry it until completion, or carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning, if God spoke it in your life, he's going to help you carry it through. He's going to help you complete. He's going to complete that which he spoke into your life. He's going to complete that which he's giving you. He's not going to leave you high and dry and not know which way to go. Moses had to believe in God. God gave him the resources that he needed. The next one about being confident, we need to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It didn't say, oh God, I think you might be able to do it. I think that you might have given me the right direction on how to do this. I think, no, that's not someone that is confident. Saying, God, I believe that you are a God that will supply every need. I believe, Lord God, that you are a God that can handle every situation. God reminded me of when I began to call upon his name and I said, God, I want boldness. Because believe it or not, I used to be very shy, very quiet. And I'm quiet sometimes now. And when I first met the Franklins, I was a little shy and I was a little quiet. But I was even more quiet and more shy before I asked God for boldness. Because I knew that if I was going to be saved and I was going to live for him and I had to tell people about him and about his goodness, God, I need some boldness. Because the precious that I used to be, God, I can't do it. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't have confidence. I didn't have boldness. And so I said, God, I need you to give me that boldness. And before I was done praying, I began to pray with boldness. Why? Because I know the God that I serve. And I say, God, I know you're real, so I need that boldness right now. I don't want to wait until tomorrow. I don't want to wait until next week. But God, I need that boldness. And as I prayed, God gave me such boldness that as I began to pray, he began to shift things in the atmosphere in that home. To where my stepdad was looking in and my mom was looking in and trying to figure out what was going on. And that drove them to pray. They're like, someone in here is praying and moving and God is moving things in the atmosphere. And that drove them, oh, we must get away and pray. I think they might have even been arguing at the time. And as I began to pray and command things to get up out of that house, they couldn't help but, oh. They had to figure out what was going on. God began to shake some things up. And when we begin to ask God for boldness, when we begin to go to his throne of grace with confidence, is what it says, then he begins to move. He begins to give us grace. He begins to help us in our time of need. So now when I pray, I can't help. I get so excited about the goodness of Jesus. And I get excited and I can't help but to pray with boldness and confidence, knowing that he's going to move. Not that he might move. No, God, you are God that's all powerful. And God, I need you right now. I have to pray with boldness because the God I serve is an awesome God. He's an on-time God. And so why should I say, oh God, just maybe you might. No, God, I know that you are able. So God, I ask that you begin to move in this situation right now. I begin to pray with boldness.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.